Mike, you got like a whine or a squeal that's been coming on your signal the last little bit here.
Interesting, because I've been on the same AT with the same MAC-50 long antenna going into the same repeater for the last couple hours, so I don't know if it's something local or what's going on.
Yeah, I hear it too now that he mentions it. It's high-pitched. Maybe the battery's going.
I did still have it on the charger, and because I'm on the Anytone, and the battery wasn't keeping up, or the charge wasn't keeping up with the battery. How's it sound now? I disconnected the charge.
Key back up and don't talk for a second. Still there.
That's a bummer. I have another radio I can go to.
Wouldn't have noticed it if you hadn't mentioned it, Fred. It wasn't that loud. Damn it.
Well, the meaning here is like his voice, because his voice is low, the squeal is just, the tone of it is just hitting my ear, and it's level with his voice.
No, I get it, man. It's like once you mention it, it's all I could hear.
Okay, AW, back on the FD-65, so that was a different antenna.
Yeah, that one could use a little bit more high-end, but the squeal is definitely gone.
Well, now I'm on Yaesu HD quality.
Yaesu, it's not the best radio, but it's the radio you have.
It's midnight. Holy crap. I need to figure out what I didn't watch any of my YouTube today. I sat here and did hammy crap most of the day. Then football and food. I don't want to go back to work. I did clock in an hour or so work, hour and a half of actual day job today because I got called. Got texted and called, so I did have to do that, but.
Fred clocked in on a weekend. All is right with the world.
Well, I had only 40, I made it to 43 hours last week, and I said I was done. Till things get some changing around there, I'm not doing anything more than 40. Until somebody has a little sit down with me.
Yeah, don't overwork yourself. Like, I'm sure you don't have to hear that from me, but when I first got into the tech sector in my current job, eons ago, I just felt like I was putting in 45, 50, 55 hours a week, and all that was happening was everybody was just telling me to, like, you know, do more and more, and then finally, I had to come to Jesus moment with a couple of people and be like, look, I'm new here, I already know what you're doing, you're taking advantage of me because I'm new, and we gotta find some boundaries. And, you know, sometimes, and even when you're in therapy for years, you know, they start doing that, you know, I have to sit down with them again. So, you know, it happens. Just, you know, you got to take care of yourself. That's really what it's all about.
I don't mind the 50, 60, 70-hour weeks. You got to pay me for it.
Yeah, it is nice to get paid for your work, isn't it?
I ain't gonna lie, even though this radio is an absolute brick, it sure is fun using this moto again for something.
You on your 5K?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I got that on my desk, and for some reason I didn't reach for it. I was on the 878. Apparently it got too hot. So I'm on my other desk. I have the FT-65 set up with my office Rogers antenna, and I do have the Bi-K, but it's I only really think about it when I got to get on my hotspot for P25.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of it is this was just the one that was easiest to program with the new fricassee that I put on that All-Star node, because I bumped it up a little bit to get it out of the range of the wireless thermometer setup. And so the FPP on this, I didn't have to reinstall any software. I was like, all right, that works.
Who down with FPP? Yeah, you know me. Who down with FPP? Yeah, all the homies.
I'll swear, but it's like, I don't really run Windows a whole lot, so I got to pull out my work computer is the only thing that runs Windows anymore. So I got to pull that out, install the software, if it's not already on there. So it is, but don't tell anybody. So then I got to get the dongle or whatever to, you know, the thing that clicks to the side of the radio and plugs into the computer and then do all that. So I last programmed it like 2 years ago, and it thankfully has all the frequencies I need. But that has front panel programming, because, you know, Sean was the G like that back in the day. And so I put in every single talker I could think of on the local hotspot, and I was like, that's it. I am never touching this thing again.
Yeah, I will say that the 991 programming software from RT that I got the Super El Cheapo add-on Macintosh license for on Friday, that's decent. Like, that was, other than the database thing, which is a, you know, more Yaesu's fault than theirs, but that was pretty straightforward. And I ran on Mac OS. I'll never have to touch it again. So that was all right. But a lot of them, we all know, are terrible.
You know, I never actually ran that software on the 991A. Back when that was my daily driver, I kind of just front panel programmed everything, as much of a pain as that was. I'm not sure you remember how much of a pain that was. And then it got demoted to my motor rig, and I just never had to worry about it. And then it got demoted to just sitting on a shelf in my garage, and it just been sitting there, and I just don't use it. So, like, I don't know. Like, if it's not terrible, I guess I could, you know, fire it up and, you know, try it, like, if I want to buy a license for it or whatever.
Or you could just bring it over here. I mean, just set up what you want. Or, hell, this stuff's already on the file. You could just dump the exact same file that I used on yours, and it's going to work the same. Because I just used a repeater book interface, and that worked just fine. Because I'm only using it for UV. I don't have any other antennas plugged into it, but it's in the shop, you know. So that's good for that, I guess, for as much as I use UV stuff. But, you know, I've done more ham radio today with a walkie-talkie than I've done in years combined. You know, everything else was HF for me, so. But, yeah, if you ever want to just flash a full address book onto that thing, you're welcome to come over and do it. You don't got to spend no money.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I got is it the software, does it only do the 991A? Is there any other Yaesu model that does?
No, that's kind of their business model, is they sell the software that is specific to make and model of radio. So if you wanted any other Yaesus, you would have to buy the software for that model. And it's not expensive, you know, but I guess if you got a whole lot of radios, it could add up pretty fast.
Well, I was just asking because aside from the 991A, the only other Yaesu radios I have anymore are the FT65 I'm talking on right now, which turb handles. And easily, and then I actually have an FT891. I bought it on a Black Friday deal back in like 2023 or something like that. I forget. I had this grand idea of like, oh, it's gonna be my Coda radio, and then I'm gonna get it installed in my car and all this other stuff, and it's just sitting there collecting dust at this point. point, but that's why I was asking.
Yeah, no. They, like I said, that's their business model. They make it inexpensive. They're filling in the holes because, like, you know, Yaesu didn't make a programming software for it. But if you wanted to do, like, I have the license for that Yaesu handheld, that first DMR handheld they put out that I sold. It turns out I've still got a license for that, but that's the only, I've got the Windows, the Mac for the 991A, and then I've got the Windows license for that one Yaesu handheld, and they're good forever, but, you know, if you ain't got the radio, you ain't got no use for it.
And I'd imagine if you even did have that, the radio for that Windows-only license, I'm guessing mine is not amazing for that. And I say that because I've actually gotten a lot of Windows software working on Wine. Like BAR-AC works great, BAR-HF modem works great, WinLink works great. This weird FFT software I found that's way better than Linux software works great. But like aside of that, like things get kind of dicey quickly.
MI1 Network.
Yeah,
I got.
I have a Windows
like
Dynamics
now,
that I use for that stuff,
work,
but
industries,
you know. So Wine, I've always wanted to. Like, I like the idea, but I've just never had the patience to actually set it up.
Sorry.
Bob, go ahead.
Yeah.
You both double with each other about doubling with me. Whose turn is it?
We don't take turns, we just back and go, damn it. But alright, I got industry to watch, and it's not like that is also in here now to watch, so I'm gonna go watch those before I fall asleep. Davida.
Okay. Good night, Freddy. Good night, Michelle.
That's right,
73. She can't hear you. She's downstairs watching TV.
So, Bobby, you know what I did discover recently is there actually is programming software that ICOM provides for the IC9700. It's actually really good. You can program literally every aspect of that radio from Windows, and it actually works with Wine, too. So if you run Mac OS or Linux, you can still do everything.
Are you pulling my leg?
Notice how I always said for 9700. I haven't found anything with the 7300 that does that.
9700. I thought you said my old one. I was thinking of the 706. No, the 981, I think, has its own. Or maybe it's Chirp. There's a couple of things that can talk to it, though. There's one, not Ham Radio Toolbox. There's another one, like a generic. It handles all different kind of radios, but it talks to the 7300 okay. And I think you can do sort of fake display sharing on it, too.
Yeah, that display sharing stuff alone would be enough worth checking it out. That's the one thing this CS9700 software doesn't do, which is interesting because that's actually a radio that has a Ethernet interface to it. And when you use it with, like, WFU, like, for instance, you know, you can see real-time what the retrograph looks like and so forth. So that, like, that's, like, I know the radio can do it, and, like, so it's just ICOM saying, like, okay, well, here's software that can do almost everything you want to do, but not everything, and whatever. So, yeah, like, but I was actually pleasantly surprised. I think it was, like, a month and a half ago I found that out about that. Oh, the CS9700 software exists. And the only reason I needed it was because WFU didn't support one or two things I wanted to set in the radio, but but the CS-97 Hertz offer did, and so I was able to use that to, you know, like, I was really trying to do a remote, not have to go out to the garage and, you know, freeze my ass off to do it, but, like, yeah, it was, so that's how I discovered it.
Yeah, because that's got a network port, on it too, yeah?
Yes, the 9700 comes with an Ethernet port, you know, the one thing they did put in the 7300, but of course they're going to put the 7300 Mark II, which they're going to charge a lot more for.
Yeah. Not going to be able to buy that next house without it. Yeah, I'm looking for the 7300. App. Was it this one? I'll find out. I just don't feel like walking in the other room and logging into that Mac, that's all.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, I can't get myself a back monitor for this. Apologies if I'm a little noisy down in the kitchen and grab another drink.
Yeah, it's a noble cause. You know what? I wonder, it might be WFU here, or at least that's one of them, because, this one looks familiar. So it might be WFU, Whiskey Frontier View.
Oh, yeah, WFU. I use that quite a bit. Hang on a minute, I'm getting back into the range view of the radio.
Yeah, it looks like it does your 9700 too, so you could use one piece of software for both radios.
Yep, so what I actually do is I have a, out in my garage, I have a, I have my, like an NUC form factor PC running Linux, and it's set up to be able to run one instance of WFU on the 7300 and one on the 9700, and then I can actually, when it's like super cold out and I don't feel like going out there to fire up the heat or whatever, I can actually do that from the house, and I have the WFU client set up on my MacBook that I'm on right now, and then I have another Linux laptop I can set that up on as well. The result is I hope we'd be able to bring all that radio stuff in the house at some point, but we'll see how that passes the carry test. It's KW.
Yeah, geez, the way the weather is, you're going to have to someday. Summertime will never come back. Okay. I'm glad that you know about it because, I don't use it a lot, especially since the 7300 is over here on the couch right now, but it definitely, for being over USB, it wasn't too shabby.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's not the 30 frames a second or whatever it is that we expect when we're looking at the front of the 7300, but it's reasonable. It's like, two or three frames a second, but you can still tell what's going on.
Yeah, and you can't beat the price.
Yeah, so he's got a version 2.20 coming up. The 2.10 is the current, but the 2.20 actually is going to add some support for some Yaesu rigs. Now I'm guessing that's going to be probably the 710 or the FG3X or whatever the flagship ones are. But like they're actually adding support for those, and I'm guessing those newer Yaesu rigs can do the spectrum analysis stuff that the ICOM rig can. So that's pretty cool.
Anything to help a Yaesu's waterfall, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah. I did my time at that 991A1. Holy crap.
What do you use now? Is it Ego or something?
When I'm out in the garage, the 7300, but when I'm up in my office, yeah, I have a G90 set up in my office with just a simple unfed random wire, just stretches that way across the backyard. And, you can't use WFU with it, but I'm sitting right in front of the radio, so I can still tell what's going on.
Yeah, Is that your POTA thing, too?
Yeah, the whole reason I bought it.
Okay, yeah, it's all kind of starting to come back to me. I think you got it last summer when it went on sale after you saw the one that Sauce had or something.
Yeah, and Brady Yachty has, and I think they had, and they still have, the bundle. So you can get the digital mode interface thing that, you know, pretty much gives you the cat control and the audio to the computer. And then there's a couple of things that, the fan attachment at the bottom. And the bundle was actually less than the MSRP of the radio, so I don't know how many sold. They had to sell as a double for that one, but I'm glad I picked one up.
Well, it's good it worked out. I mean, you know, after the trials and tribulations that Sauce went through buying it one piece at a time, it's weird that they sell it one piece at a time when in reality you do kind of just need all of those different parts to really make it a useful reading radio.
Yeah, so leaving a space in case anybody else wanted to jump in. Yeah, the WHSTF is KWU. Yeah, so I actually have figured out that the receiver is actually a lot better than I anticipated it was going to be, considering who made it and what country it comes from. But it's the FBI receiver is actually really good in it. The one thing I found is that, like, on CW is a little quirky, but, like, since you don't use CW, I guess it would be a big issue for you. I've noticed that on a couple of the POTA activations, the back monitor is a little weird, but, like, apparently my transmitter signal is fine. And as far as, like, for voice and for digital modes, it works really well. So it's like, yeah, I can see why, like, a bunch of, like, new general class hams would jump on these things. And I've even talked to a couple of people the past couple of weeks that have, you know, 100-watt rigs and been like, yeah, I'm kind of interested in one of these things so I can, like, get into POTA or SOTA or, you know, like, winter field day, summer field day, you know, whatever.
Well, and it's an easier price point, isn't it, still? I think it was, what, $600? So somebody getting a license upgrade or whatever is not as intimidating, not as big as a commitment as some of these other ones now.
Yeah, the radio by itself, I don't know what the, I think it's still in the mid to high 400s, you know, for the radio itself, but if you go to Radiology and get the bundle, I think it's actually less than that. So I think that's why a lot of people are wanting to jump on these now. And plus, their newer firmware comes up with a pretty good implementation of the Kenwood or ICOM cat control. So, I don't regret buying mine at all. I actually really like the radio. I will say the 7800 is a little more user-friendly, but I also don't want to drag one of those things out on a photo activation.
No, I get that. And, you know, probably one of the other, and I wouldn't say a selling point, but maybe one of the other features that some of these guys like is, you know, how much fun that Foss had getting the STLs and printing all the accessories for it, all the rails and handles and stuff like that, you know. People really dig doing that kind of thing, too. So I'm sure that feeds into the sales potential there.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of aftermarket opportunities for that radio. Ironically, mine, actually, like, I don't have any of that stuff, you know, connected to it. Although, you know, Soft did print 3D some rails from my FT891, and those are actually still on that radio. That's now in my office closet, just sitting there collecting stuff. At some point, that's going to go, I really think at some point it's going to go into my car, either this one or some future car I have, you know, like, so I can, you know, have at least, you know, mobile HF if I want to have it, and it has 6 meters, too. And that's the one thing, the G90 doesn't have 6 meters, but 6 meters is open, so rarely, especially this time of year, that I just don't care about it. Like, if it was my daily driver, I'd care about it, but, you know, I have other reasons to do it.
I'm surprised he didn't print you a bunch of stuff for that one when you got it. You gotta get on him about that.
I think he said something about printing a new tuning knob because it's one of those ones that's just a hard plastic knob. If you use hard plastic knobs, you know what I'm talking about. I guess there's guys that actually have made knobs with like the soft rubber ring around it and stuff like that. And I will say that would be kind of nice to have. But, you know, so if he can do it, great.
I'll bet you all you got to do is ask, because he loves printing stuff.
Well, I still have the MFS, other essence sauce, 40-meter coil for that chili dog antenna. And all I had to do, when I discovered a failure mode on it, all I had to do was open it, put one of those O-ring, you know what I'm talking about, like, you know, like the metal O-rings, like on the top of it, you know, screw everything back in, and it worked fine after that. And I did report to him like that. That's what I had to do. So yeah, like I think like A, he likes doing it. B, he likes, you know, hearing feedback so he can like make better signs in the future.
Or maybe he just likes huffing hot plastic. Who knows? I feel bad that he gave me that chili dog with the whole setup and everything, and I've only ever used it once. But, you know, that's one I should probably just kind of poke in the dirt out back and run that to the 991. That wouldn't be too difficult. And it wouldn't be terrible. Or maybe it would be terrible. Who knows?
You know, there might actually be some opportunity there. I was just thinking about, like, how many times you complain about, like, the neighbor having their noisy, you know, AliExpress, you know, LED light on it, just trashes HF. Every time I've been over there, every time I set, like, when they have the light on, I'm assuming maybe sometimes when I'm over there they don't, but I've never noticed, like, any kind of noise problem over there, but my antenna is also, like, halfway between your house and the pond. So I'm always wondering, like, you know, maybe, like, you know, get an Omar 400, run a 100-foot, you know, 150-foot, whatever, run all the way back there, put one of those verticals up, you know, with the coil, whatever, and, you know, see how much less noise you pick up from that. Like, that might be something you might want to do.
Yeah, because, well, where it's coming in from is it's coming in on the power lines. So because we've got, you know, in-the-air power, the crap feeds back out of their house, and it radiates. Sorry, YouTube just started up. Shut up. You know, so it comes in via the power, and since my, you know, their antennas, starts off my feed point for the wire is like what, 40 feet maybe or 50 feet tops to the power poles. It picks it up pretty good, and like last night they had a party, so the landing lights are on and everything. You could see the place from space, and I just for laughs I turned the radio, the 7300 on, and it was, I mean, the whole front end was completely saturated. You couldn't even see anything. It was crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah, like I always know you complain about it, but I didn't know it was that bad. And now that you explain, like, what is happening there, like, it gives me a better understanding as to just what you're up against. But even with that, like, I feel like if you got far enough away from the, I can't remember where the power lines are in that neighborhood. And I'm honestly shocked that, like, you have above ground power lines, because my parents live in a similar neighborhood out in Plymouth Township, and all their stuff is buried. So they never really had to deal with that. Well, okay, they didn't have to deal with it as bad as you do, because yeah, even you know, some of the noise that's on power lines these days, even if it's like carry 1600 round, you know, they usually still hear some of it. So, like, it's, at the end of the day, it's down to, like, just set it up and see how, this vertical, whatever, like you were talking about, to see how it works for you. KW.
Whiskey 8, Sugar Delta Fox. Yeah, I mean, that, and I've thought about doing that. It's just the coax run, you know, because it is like a half acre. You spin up about 150, 200 feet really fast, and that's before you even get to the end, you know, get up to the antenna to feed it. So it's kind of expensive, and then there's the loss potential there, I guess, which is what I've, you know, and that's not an excuse not to try it. I'm just lazy. Because I did buy 200 feet of coax over the summer, and I just haven't done anything with it.
Well, yeah, and then plus if you gotta talk, like you gotta get 150, 200 feet away from the transceiver. That might not be a big issue, like 80 meters, 40 meters, 20, whatever. By the time you get up to 10 meters, depending on what you're using, that might be an issue. And then even if you could have, you know, good, like, say, LMR 400, LMR 600, even the LMR 600 level coax, that adds weight onto if you got to go up off the ground. So there's a lot of things that you got to think about there.
Yeah, lots of trade-offs, as with everything. So, you know, hopefully I'll figure it out. I mean, for the most part, I don't use it enough, I guess, or maybe I don't use it enough because I know it ain't worth the hassle, but I've just sort of gotten into the habit of really, you know, I can kind of time my use around when I know they're going to go to bed and stuff like that and when their kids aren't around, because it's usually their kids that turn every light on in the house and then leave them on for days at a time because they're afraid of the dark or whatever, even in the daylight. But, you know, I did move the feed point to the other side of the deck up there, so it was close to Dale and Vicky's, but because it was still the same distance away from the Edison lines, which are out front on our side of the street, so there's a telephone pole near our yard kind of thing, that didn't really change anything. So if you go out there with a radio when everything's really humming really good, and you walk right in front of their house, it's, you know, it buries the needle. And then each 100 or so feet you get away from their house, it dissipates. So it's not riding the transmission lines forever, but, you know, for at least 3 or 4 houses on either side of theirs, you definitely are getting, you know, 10, 20 over.
Yeah, that's definitely a hard problem to solve. I will definitely give you that, as I will have always given you that. But I you know, trying to think of, like, you know, ways to try to get away from that and also get the coax to be able to support how far you have to get away from that. I don't have to deal with anything like that in my neighborhood. Although I did, if you remember when I lived in Ferndale, I had that, like, really bad noise on 2 meters, and sometimes it would hit 10 meters, too, and sometimes 6, and I would turn on my radio, it'd be, like, you know, 20 over S9 noise, I'm like, I can't deal with that, like, ugh. So, like, at least for the 2-meter side, that's when I was getting into building the Yagi's, and I had built that first VHF Yagi, 6 elements, and I had to deal with soft copper because that's all I had, and it was 2020, and I couldn't go to hardware stores to get anything better, so I just kind of dealt with what I could deal with. But yeah, it was like, that's how I was able to figure out where it was coming from, and then as I improved that antenna, that's how I was able to, like, kind of mitigate and also put the change where it was on the property. That's how I was able to mitigate it. But, yeah, thankfully it was one of those, like, all-encompassing BS things like you're talking about. That would just be, Yeah, you know, like, there's probably a solution, but, KW.
Whiskey 8, sugared all the fucks. Yeah, you know, like I said, I just kind of work around it. There's, you know, plenty of fantasies about building a high-powered laser and shooting out that bathroom light up in the second floor and stuff, because that's the biggest offender, but, you know, that silliness aside, if someday I acquired a receive antenna, you know, I got a radio that had dual antenna inputs, and I could have a receive antenna separate from the transmit antenna, or some kind of aftermarket solution for something like that. That might be a viable alternative. You know, do a receive loop out back, away from the DTE stuff, and then still just transmit on my ZEP up in that tree or whatever. That might work, but again, that comes down to I'm lazy. And, you know, coax losses being what they are, yada, 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 yada. So I just work around it, and then that's why I got that sweet setup in the truck, because if I really need to talk, I can always get in the Jeep and drive around the block for a while.
CNN Network.
Yeah, that's actually that's actually a good, you know, solution. Like, and there's a lot of hams that live in places where they can't do radio, like they have HOAs or the noise is too high or whatever, and so they just jump in their cars and just go somewhere. when I used to watch YouTube hams, that Coastal Ways and Wires guy, I think it's called K4OGO. I can't remember his call at the moment. But it was one of those things where, like, he, you know, where he lives, he can't really have an antenna up, and the one he has is a very compromised antenna. But, like, yeah, he decided to, like, just take his radio and an antenna, wire antenna down to, like, because he lives on coastal Virginia, Portsmouth, I think it is. So he's on a big saltwater body, and he let a counter poison to the water, which is salt water, and he has like a, you know, a 20-25 foot, you know, vertical loss of a center of balance, and he operated, and he was like, holy crap, this is awesome. And then he got into portal loss, and now he does like portal loss all across the East Coast of the United States. So it's been, like I said, it's been a minute since I've watched him, but you know, like that, he was in that same situation where it's like, if he had been restricted to what he could do at home, he probably wouldn't even be in the hobby anymore.
Yeah, and then I know there's plenty of stories of them guys too, where, oh, I'm moving to a new place and I can't have radio. Well, okay, I don't know why you choose to live there, but okay. But yeah, and you know, here too, there's always going to be something. Even, you know, where you are, there's always something. Down at the barbecue lot, there was always something. So it's never perfect, but being able to do a little bit is fine. And, you know, it certainly is better than when I first moved in here and John's pot grow operation. That was causing big problems, too. And, you know, if I hadn't been able to solve that, it would have been a lot worse than it is now, where it's mostly, you know, it's periodic as opposed to 12 hours a day every day, whereas with John's pot grow system, you know, because of the cycling of the grow op, it's 12 hours a day every day when them lights are on. So, you know, that was a lot worse. So, you know, I guess you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, and I thank you for reminding me what the issue might have been. I never got confirmation that the whole reason that 2 meters was trashed and 10 meters, 6 meters, whatever, was trashed between mid-afternoon up through, like, you know, mid to late evening. I suspect that might be what it was. But, like, then I get on 40 meters and you're like, it'd be fine. So I'm like, I don't really know what's going on here. I don't think it was grow lights in, when I was in Ferndale. I think it was one of the neighbors had a plasma TV, like one of the older ones that just throws hash out on VHF and low UHF. Because I would notice that, like, yeah, 2-industry trash, but if I go to 432, that'd be okay. But, like, who's listening for GQs on 432? You know, like that's generally a scheduling band. Especially if you're doing weak signal like I was doing. WSDFKW.
Whiskey H, Sugar Delta Fox. Beep, 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 beep. Hey, do you got work in the morning?
I do, and I'm getting about to the point where I have to sign off.
Yeah, dude, it's getting kind of late, so I better let you go. I just looked at the clock, and I was like, oh, holy shit.
Yeah, but honestly, it was a lot of fun to hang out with you and Fred on the radio tonight. Like, I forgot how fun it can be, you know, just, you know, playing walkie-talkies, even if they are networked. You know, because obviously we aren't close enough to do it over RF only. You and I, maybe. You and I and Fred, yeah, no, there's no way it's going to happen. But yeah, I had a lot of fun tonight, so thank you guys. So, 73, this is QA Whiskey United.
Yeah, and you and I have tried it before, and it was miserable because we only were able to do it in, like, eat. I had to stand in one part of my house, and you had to stand in a different part of your house, and neither of those parts were the parts that were comfortable. So this is fine. I mean, at least just playing with these damn walkie-talkies. I own so many of them, you know, and I don't use them, so. And then I really like, I know you weren't watching the Super Bowl probably, but Fred and I were. And that was always my favorite part of the early days of the FBI was just being on, Sunday football with everybody and not having to leave the houses. That was always a good time because, it's a communal thing. Deb and I enjoy it, and it's fun to enjoy it with other people, too. So, at any rate, we'll catch you later on, and have yourself a wonderful Monday morning. Whiskey 8, Sugar Delta Fox.
Yeah, I totally get it. So, preaching to the choir here. All right, well, I'll talk to you when I talk to you. It's probably Discord or whatever. 73, KLA, Whiskey United. We'll be quick.
This is the CMN Network, MI1.
KE8RUH.
Right as I turned on my radio.
Good morning, how you doing?
I'm alright, ready to get some caffeine. Running a little bit behind schedule, but that's new. How are you?
Also running a little bit behind schedule. I overslept by about 25 minutes and have been rushing ever since, which is no fun.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at, but it's Monday.
Yep, and the only person that really keeps track of if I'm on time or not is me, so it's not that big of a deal, it's just frustrating.
That's me as well. I don't really have, usually the first one there even when I'm late.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not, I guess if I was 30 minutes late every day, somebody might have something to say about it, but nobody knows the difference. It's not a big deal, but it's still frustrating to me.
Right. It's not like I strive to be tardy, but I also don't necessarily strive to be early either. I'll get there when I get there. All my crap will get thought. Don't worry about it.
Yep. Hey, there's a be at like 23 in Van Dyke around 4 till 6 p.m. So if there's any chance you have those jackets, maybe we could just meet up on your way home.
So they're still in my truck, which I do not have today, but I will be in tomorrow. So let me know. And then I will not be in it Wednesday and then back in it Thursday. Not that I can't move the jackets, but you said Tuesday or Wednesday, so.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'll keep you in the loop. I got to figure out with the guy that I'm meeting up with and with my wife on what we have going after work on Tuesday and Wednesday and see what I can get done for him. So, but other than that, not much. Would you watch the Super Bowl or anything? I went to bed at like 9:30. I don't think I watched 3 minutes of the whole thing.
I don't even know who was in the Super Bowl to give you an idea of how much I don't care. Give me 1 sec. I got a pit stop. All right, not bad.
Yeah, I think I found out on Saturday who was playing, so it doesn't concern me at all. I don't know. I guess it was a pretty crappy game. My wife stayed up and watched it, and she said they didn't actually play until the last 10 minutes. It was all there was only a couple touchdowns scored, and it was at the end of the game. But I told her that's because it's all scripted. She laughed.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say it's all scripted and Bad Bunny can F himself, so there's that. Any man wearing a dress is getting paid by my viewership. I'm good.
Yep. I'm right there with you. Yeah, it's like when we were kids, it was a big deal, and the commercials were a big deal, but, man, I don't even care about commercials anymore. Like, it's like one of those things where we do everything we can to pay so we don't have to watch commercials at this point. Why would I want to watch commercials?
They used to be hilarious. Like, remember the ones with the Doritos where they stick their finger in the hole?
Yeah, and there was always good Budweiser commercials, the frogs. And there was a couple other really good ones. But, yeah, man, I don't know. It's like, I think there's just so much media now, like so much content you can take in, that there's really nothing that these companies can do to go viral, per se.
All the commercials were aired before the Super Bowl, or a majority of them were. In my opinion, the whole game was kind of a defensive battle. That was about the only thing that was good. As far as the performers, lame, 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 halfway decent, and lame. Good morning, gentlemen. W8RCY.
Sorry, I was taking a drink. Morning, Donald. Yeah, we were just discussing how it didn't really appeal to us to even tune in.
Yep. And it was a scripted game, like all of them. It's like the WWF.
Okay, I can see the scripted part, but the referee was originally from Detroit, Michigan. So I give him a brownie point. What parts of the game I watched on and off, because I was in charge of some of the cooking at the party I was at. You know, I didn't know of any controversial calls or anything like that, like it's happened in the past where you could see that it's either one-sided or scripted. But, I mean, I knew Seattle was going to win. There's no doubt about that. So it's like part of the reason why I relinquished myself to the kitchen and the cooking duties. But, except for the defensive battle back and forth in the first half, it was just lame. Just the whole thing was lame. Like I said, even the performers... the national anthem was disappointing. America the Beautiful was disappointing. The lady that sang Climb Every Mountain, that was okay. She did a good job with that. But I was just, the whole thing was just so disappointing. And then just to wrap it up, I'll say this. Yeah, the commercials, many of them were already out before the game even started. I mean, days, maybe, you know, before the game was even played. And that takes away from the excitement of it all.
Yeah, I think there's nothing new. I don't even think I could have watched it. I would have had to stream it somehow. I don't even have TV. So, the older I get, the less I care, it seems like.
Yep, and for years now, they've been leaking those commercials early, which makes sense from a business perspective. You want more eyes on it, so they would want to leak them and get everybody watching them ahead of time, but it's like the added excitement when you see it on Super Bowl Sunday, so I don't know. I went to bed at 9:30 like I wanted to, and I don't know if I watched 3 minutes of it. It was fantastic. I just lived my life and didn't get wrapped up in it. Plus, I wasn't invested in either one of those teams if I would have wanted to be. I guess the only way I would watch it at this point or be invested in it is if I knew somebody playing in it or the Lions were playing in it. And I don't know how invested I'd be even if the Lions were playing in it.
Well, there were some Michigan and Michigan State football players on the team for Seattle, so that's a little bit of a home thing. The referee, like I said, was originally from Detroit, Michigan, and Mike Tirico, the broadcaster, mentioned that at the beginning because Mike Tirico lives in the Ann Arbor area, but yeah, that was about it. But yeah, the interest of the Super Bowl for me is not what it used to be. I prefer college football, college basketball versus pro on those two fronts. And the neighborhood where my little lady lives threw a party, and everybody brought like potluck and things like that. So I cooked up some chili and some spaghetti sauces and stuff like that. So. Yeah, so I put my cooking skills to the test because I don't use them as much as I used to. And as far as I know, nobody's been in the hospital yet for food poisoning. So I guess I did good.
Yeah, I guess you can chalk that as a win. You didn't make anyone lose their dinner. Man, I think back to a couple weeks ago when I was losing my dinner. Never want to go back to that. I had Taco Bell for dinner, like a degenerate, but I was home with the kids, didn't feel like leaving, was a little hungover from the night before, and decided to DoorDash it. They forgot my drink, of course, because DoorDash, God forbid, the driver doesn't steal it. And that was pretty much my day. I tried tuning a duplexer, failed miserably, and now it's Monday again, so here we are.
I feel the same way. Now it's Monday again. Here we are. But, Dakota, you know what I did yesterday? It was pretty awesome. I have a friend that is a member of the Grosse Pointe Yacht Club, and they, in the wintertime, as long as there's not boats in the marina, they shoot skeet out over the lake. And my buddy took me out there with him as a guest, and we shot two rounds over the lake. It was pretty awesome. But, hey, I'm pulling into the driveway here. I will listen out, and I will catch up with you guys maybe this afternoon.
Okay, Anthony, you have a great day. Don't work too hard. It is Super Bowl hangover Monday. You can always pretend like you're messed up and, you know, just lollygag through the day like everybody else will. Have a good day. Have safe travels coming home. And, yeah, skeet shooting. I haven't done that in probably 40 years or more. So I'm a little bit jealous there. Dakota, go ahead.
I'll talk to you later, Anthony. I'm jealous because shooting over water is a good time. I haven't shot skeet in probably 5 years. Sporting clays, yeah, skeet, no. And, yeah, Donald, I have a feeling that's how today's going to go. Everyone's going to be kind of bleh. And fortunately, I don't feel bleh. I just don't have a whole lot of fire under me today.
Yeah, we kind of shut the party down about 10 o'clock, and I think there was just maybe less than a couple minutes left in the game, and I helped pack up, I helped clean up, and then walked it back over to my girlfriend's house, and we were on the road at 5 o'clock this morning because I had to get home and she had to get to her workouts this morning, so she should be at the gym right now. If she did, if not, she probably went home and went back to bed. I wouldn't be surprised, but I'll check on her later, and then she works from home, so she'll be fine. But me, no, I got laundry to do and stuff like that. That's what's on my agenda today. I've already showered and, yeah, just fumbling around with a cup of coffee and plain old black coffee. I got to get to Kroger's and buy coffee stuff for myself. And that's about it. So, nothing new here. Other than that, it's Monday, like you say. But, yeah, it's Mondays with the Super Bowls is kind of what they used to be like. And in my days working for companies like Verizon and Honda and other places, yeah, Mondays after Super Bowl, I was one of those that voted for having Monday be a legal holiday. But now, nah, it's just not what it used to be for sure.
I drank so much coffee this week, and I had to get a Monster this morning. But yeah, I agree. I don't think it's. I don't know. It feels like the magic around it's not there anymore. It could be because there's so much more streaming and less TV and hype leading up to it, or just I don't know. I've never been a huge football fan, and then I just progressively gotten less and less interested in watching it. And, you know, with kids and stuff, it's not like we go to Super Bowl parties, which we used to do when we didn't have kids. So. Kind of just hang out at home and take the day for what it is. And it's kind of nice. I didn't do much yesterday.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard you say something about not having a TV or something that you stream stuff. Well, I don't have a TV where I live, and I stream everything on my laptop now or my tablet. And so I don't miss TV. When I retired and I moved to this senior citizen campus where I live now, I just said, nope, I'm not going to get caught in commercialized TV anymore. And I can pick and choose what I want. And most of my live streams are part of my Xfinity package anyways. And my Xfinity is only internet and Wi-Fi. And I can run multiple devices plus my radio stuff, like my Node, all simultaneously. And I just got promoted to Platinum member with Xfinity, so I got some more perks coming, and the representative will be out later this month, and I'll talk to him. But, yeah, like I said, it's just, for me, I'm more of a college football, college basketball guy more than I am pro. Yes, the Lions are doing better. Yes, the Pistons are doing great. But the game is still not the same as college because there's in pro, in my opinion, it's all about egos and money and bling and everything else, and it's just, nah, that just takes away from it. And to close on that, I just want to add one more thing. I'm hearing now that high school players can start earning money. I guess some kind of rules or laws passed on the high school level here in Michigan that they're going to start to get some kind of compensation for what they do before they even get into college. So, yeah, that's going to be a digression of sports even more so, I think, commercializing and paying these high school kids.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, they started doing that in college, and if they're going to trickle that down to high school, good luck. That's not going to end well for anyone. High school kids are as dumb as they come and start giving them money. That's going to be a problem.
I haven't researched it decently enough because, you know, I don't have any kids in school, and my lady doesn't have any kids at all because she's not capable. But the fact of the matter is, family members and stuff like that, my brother's got grandkids that, you know, play high school sports. Actually, I think they're in college now, his grandkids. But, yeah, I'd be about that. They're in their 20s. But, yeah, so it's just this trickle-down effect of everything, you know. And next thing you know, you're going to have T-ball kids, you know, with sponsors on their uniforms, and they're going to get a little bit of compensation because, you know, equipment's not cheap. I mean, I was talking to Sean once. Sean and I both played hockey, and we were both goaltenders. And, oh, my gosh, one of my nephews, my brother's youngest son, played hockey, and he was a goalie. And he came to me about getting equipment, and I remember the prices were, like, double over my last set of equipment that I bought. And every so often I look at the – I go out to Perani's out there at 15 and Van Dyke, and I just walk through there. and you can't even buy a pair of goalie pads now for the price of what I paid for my full goaltender equipment, you know, the body armor, the pads, gloves, everything like that. For the price of just a pad now, one leg pad, it's just absolutely unbelievable, the prices of this stuff. And you wonder how parents are going to pay for it all. I mean, your parents have to be doctors and lawyers and things like that just to get little Johnny, you know, a pair of skates or a daughter, you know, dance wear or whatever like that, you know, if they want to go into dance. It's just unbelievable.
Anyway, DBS. I remember playing hockey and my dad would get so mad. I played from 4 to 17. And then when I graduated, I had to choose between playing hockey at Davenport or lacrosse at Maryland, and I picked lacrosse. I was just better at it, liked it more, and was kind of burned out of hockey because I started playing lacrosse in sixth grade. So a little bit after I started playing hockey. But, yeah, I have a hockey table that my dad made me out of all my broken sticks, and I mess with them all the time. Like, that's a $2,000 table because there's, like, I don't know, probably eight or nine broken hockey sticks that were all $200 to $300 a piece.
There was in St. Clair Shores, my hometown, a hockey supply hardware store kind of a thing. It was called Radke's, and it was in an old building. The buildings were demolished now and everything like that, but it was a family business, and one of the Radke's split from that and started Macomb Cycle Center out there at 12 and Chandler area. And all those people that started it and founded it are all passed on now. But there's a couple kids around my age that still do the lease the bike shop. The Radke name is still there. But, yeah, Radke's was like the Piranis of hockey back then. And, oh, my gosh, you know, we're talking sports equipment. Look at instruments, too, kids that play in bands. Fifth grade, I took up saxophone, and then I switched to trumpet. I just took up trumpet just for the heck of it. But, I mean, my first trumpet, you know, was nearly $1,000, and my saxophone was, like, not even $250, $300, but I think I remember my parents leased it or rented it through a music store for, you know, purposes of, you know, education, music education and stuff. But I can imagine, you know, like I said, I've been out of high school over 50 years. I can imagine how much this stuff costs these kids and their parents today. Everything's just going up, up, up. And, you know, their kids, you know, we talk about our kids, their kids, what are their kids going to be paying for some of this stuff? There's just no end to it. And so I'm just glad I'm past all those days.
There's nothing cheap or affordable anymore, at least not that I can think of. I mean, it seems like everything I want to do is just ridiculously expensive, radio being one of them. Now, I will say with radio, though, there's different tiers. Like, you could really play radio on a pretty economical budget, unless you want to get an HF, and there's really no way around it. You're spending minimum $400 or $500 to get into it. But, yeah, it seems like everything else, like a decent computer costs a fortune now. All these game consoles are going up in price because of the RAM shortages and all this, that, and the other thing. Hunting gear is expensive. Athletic wear is expensive. Like, I have three that are going to play sports. It's going to cost me a fortune.
You can't even tell your kids to go out and start a paper route. You know, you can't tell. Get a job, start a paper route, earn your money, save your money, we'll meet you halfway kind of stuff. Everything I did, my parents weren't supportive of me playing hockey. I know my dad only came and saw me a few times play, and I got as high as Junior B, played against Mark and Marty Howe when they were in Junior A down at Olympia, so I skated on Olympia a couple times over the years. But, yeah, I mean, if I had to support myself in the early 70s like I did with, you know, jobs after work or, excuse me, after school or jobs that I did in school, I ran the bookstore and other little things like that, and they give you a little bit of money, but it's just enough basically to cover your lunches. Yeah, so I just don't know anymore, but we're talking about gaming, and I know you're a gamer, and because I see some of your posts on Discord that you're playing a lot of games. My daughter, who played an oboe in high school, in school, in junior high, high school. I don't even know if she still has it. She said, Dad, I don't even know if I still have it. But, you know, from oboe to pediatric thoracic surgeon, I don't know where that turn came, but thank God her schooling was paid.
Yeah, good for her. Sounds like she figured that out pretty quick. That's quite the career. And, yeah, you know, and the other thing with these, like, if I look back on playing varsity sports in high school, I woke up, I went to school, I got out of school, I got on the ice, or I went to practice, or the weight room, or off-ice training, or whatever time of year it was, and then by the time that was over, it was 7 o'clock, and I was going home, getting ready to eat and go to bed. So it's like, when am I supposed to work?
Well, let's see, from 18 to about 22, I would get up in the morning, you know, go to work at Farmer Jack's in a meat cooler as a meat cutter, get home early, go get some ice time in for practice. We would have two games a week minimum, sometimes three, and then your practice sessions and everything else. Plus, I was working two nights a week for Farmer Jack's. I had to work two night shifts till 10, 11 o'clock at night. I would play a little bit of hockey on Sunday, early morning beer leagues if I had Sundays off, just to get some ice time in for myself because I was, you know, missing out on some practice time or whatever the case may be. But, yeah, that was a grueling schedule for me between the ages of 18 and about 22, and that was it for me. I couldn't do it anymore because I was married. I just had a Boo Boo is born in 82, yeah. About 23 is, I think, was when I quit playing because my wife was pregnant then, and I just gave everything up and walked away from sports and just focused on the career. But my daughter, pediatric thoracic surgeon, my sister lost her third child. Unfortunately, he passed on an operating table, and when he died, he was the same age as my daughter was. My daughter made a comment at the funeral. Was asked, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she said, I want to be a doctor that fixes the hearts and lungs of little children so people like my cousin Derek don't have to pass away. And damn, that's exactly what she's doing. And me and my ex-wife were just so damn proud of her. So is my sister. My sister, I don't know who was bawling more at my daughter's graduation. My ex-wife, myself, my ex-wife's, I need more coffee. My ex-wife's husband was there as well. He's my daughter's stepdad. But, yeah, we were all bawling because she's doing exactly what we did, and she's doing it in the honor of her cousin that passed away at the age of four, just short of his fourth birthday.
Yeah, that's a noble career, a big sacrifice, and something to be proud of for sure. That's a huge commitment.
Well, she just turned 44 back on the 6th, so that was, what, Thursday, Friday? Friday, yeah. She turned 44, and I called her, and I couldn't talk to her too long, but because she had a surgery scheduled in, like, 45 minutes, but she gave me a few minutes of her time, and I said, all right, we'll talk soon. But she is just so doggone busy. She travels a lot. She does some in vitro work now, which is truly amazing how they go into the womb and do some work before the child's even born. And she's learning that specialty. So she just, her life is either at the hospital or very rarely at home. And, like I said, we're all proud of her. And she's, you know, I don't know what drove her to do it other than her, you know, her cousin's passing, but she was only four at the time, and, you know, they were both born in 82, Jennifer in February, and Derek was in July, and he passed shortly before his fourth birthday, like I said, unfortunately on an operating table, but, yeah, complications, but that little boy lived a full life in his time. I remember him going to my sister and her husband at the time. Took him to go to Disney World and things like that. So, yeah, he lived a lot. He lived a good life in just a short period of time, for sure. But, yeah, my daughter, an amazing girl, and me and my ex-wife just looked at each other and goes, like, we created that monster, you know, and that talent? No way. So, but, yeah, it's just, it's a feel-good story every time I think about it and talk to her or whatever. So that's it for me on my end.
I wonder if Sean has the Super Bowl hangover. And it seems like UMP or Central Michigan's not linked. Is that correct? Are you seeing that as well?
Oh, I'm talking on my note. My note's not showing up on the monitor. Wait, let me reset it here. Oh, there it goes. Okay, now it's working. I should have reset my monitor. But I'm showing up on the monitor page under my node. But there has been, from what I've been hearing lately in the mornings, you may not hear me on the radio, but my radio is on and it's usually on in the background. There have been some little hiccups and glitches with some of the connections, and then when Sean gets to the office or something, just walks by the box and, you know, hits it with a hammer, and then everything works fine.
He is a wizard. I need to bug him, and I hate bugging him, but try tuning a duplexer this weekend. I don't have enough fittings and adapters for what I need to do. I also don't know what I'm doing, so that's another problem. And, failed miserably. So I'm assuming, being that he's got access to good equipment, he could probably do it pretty easily, but, time is valuable, especially with that guy.
Yeah, I've asked him a couple things, and I just send him a text, and when he gets back to me, he gets back to me. I have all the patience in the world and time. That's my sister's middle name, happens to be Patience, and I happen to be the one who has it all. But sometimes I'm too forgiving, and I become frustrated. It's like, I told this person this situation a month ago, and they still haven't gotten back to me. And it's like, what the heck's wrong? It wasn't that much of a thing. And it's not just Sean. Everybody's just so busy at certain times of the year. And I know Mondays for Sean aren't easy because he walks in after being away, or like he was sick there for a while. He had that breathing thing, bronchitis, whatever that was. And, you know, he was on and off work and so on and so forth. But I know on Mondays not to, after being away just for a normal weekend, when he walks in on Monday mornings, sometimes those are not the easiest. So I just leave him be. And I'll send him a text and just say, hey, when you get a chance, and, you know, he'll get back to me. But, I don't know what's going on with this thing with the hub. Like, right now, the one hub that's the big one there out of Fenton is not lighting up anything, but everything else is working just fine as far as I can tell. You're on the Warren, I'm on my node. The hub in Detroit's lit up, and that's about it. But the fourth column, the fourth row, it is not lighting up, and I'll just, like I say, leave that up to him. So that's it for now. W8RCY.
Yeah, I just flipped back to it to see if it was linked up or not. So no big deal. Sure, it's a network thing for usual, because it's always a network thing. No matter what industry I'm in or what world I'm playing in, it's always the damn network. Why have job security? But on that note, I'm pulling up to my driveway here, so I'm going to clear out as well. And maybe I'll catch you this afternoon. I don't know how long I'm going to be in the office today. Whether it's a short day or long day. But either way, I'll catch you later. Henry, DBS.
Yeah, copy that. I'm usually on the radio. Let me repeat that. I may not be on the radio as much as I usually used to be, but the radio is on. I've got one side of my living room where my desk is, where my radios are. There's a radio on, be it my HT or my big box Motorola base station. And on the other side of the living room, I have my music playing. I listen to an internet music station all day. So both of those things are going. And once in a while, I'll turn on a scanner if there's activity out here in Madison Heights to listen to. But my ears can multitask. I personally can't multitask, but my ears can multitask all the noise, and I can decipher. So if somebody calls out for me, I'll usually pick up, but I just don't talk as much as I used to. All right, have a great day. Make the best of it. W8RCY, we're clear.
KACHKJO.
I don't hear a whole lot of Monday morning enthusiasm in that voice. Good morning, Tom. It's W8RCY.
Oh, because my nose is stuffed and I'm just beginning the day.
Okay. Stuffy nose. Interesting. Most people have pounding headaches, but a stuffy nose, that's a new one. But we'll put that on the list of, Monday morning excuses, I guess. Me, I was relinquished to kitchen duty, so I was doing a lot of cooking and stuff like that for a Super Bowl party in my girlfriend's neighborhood that I helped, put together. And so I didn't do a lot of partying, and I don't do the partying like I used to prior to when I was 40. It was a long time ago. But anyway, yeah, good morning, and hopefully your day is not cross-country-wise and that you're going to be pretty much local.
Yeah, today is, I got to go to downtown, well, not downtown, I got to go to a new center area, see this whole thing about moving a card reader. So, not sure exactly what it's going to be entailed, except for cabling and power and probably the controller itself, because they're moving from one suite to another. So it's like, whatever. So, me and my coworker are going to go down there and see exactly how much work is involved, kind of thing. But the stuff he knows is, I got dogs and cats, and I take my CPAP off, and then next thing I'm going to get a little bit stuffed up.
Well, I don't get stuffy heads like I used to, but I did suffer from allergies growing up, and I'm still waiting because the doctors told me back when I was like 12, 13 years of age, don't worry, you'll grow out of it. Well, I'm now 69, I still haven't grown out of it, so the only thing different for me is I used to have springtime allergies, and now I have fall allergies, and next to my senior campus here where I live is a huge, empty, open field that's just nothing but forest, and every kind of vegetation or growth is back there, along with every type of critter back there as well, but in the fall, my head really gets messed up in the sneezing and the watery, itchy eyes, and I don't sleep well at all either. I almost sleep, and my voice is still a little rough today, but I don't know why, because we're in the winter, but I get nasally and raspy, and it's hard for me to breathe. But then again, my breathing is compromised because I had COVID back in 2019, and I lost some of my normal breathing capacity, and I've got these apparatus that I'm supposed to use on a regular basis, which I don't, and but that's my own fault. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, that said the same thing to me. I've had allergies since I was a kid. I actually went to an allergist, found out what I'm allergic to, did the whole allergy shots for a while, and then they were somewhat working, but not really working. I'm allergic to cats, dogs, horses, cows, hay, straw, and all the green plants that grow in the world. So I just chalk it up to, I just get a stuffy nose. That's about it. So I live with it. I mean, my asthma touches off every so often, but that's been pretty well regulated for the past couple of years.
Back when I was 12, in the mid-60s, 66, 67, somewhere in there, maybe closer to 11, 67, I was 11, there used to be a camp off of M-19, east of, east, it ran east on Weber Road at the bridge for the Bell River, called Camp St. Mary's, and I used to go out there. I went out there for 2 summers, and I really got my hay fever and sinuses and allergy problems from going out there as a kid, and I cursed my parents for sending me out there. I know the camp is gone, and I know the Bell River Bridge has been redone because it used to be like a steel girder bridge, and now it's a really nice paved cement thing. I don't know how long you've been in that area, but have you ever heard of that camp? Again, it's on Weber, east of 19, right at the point of where you cross the Bell River Bridge, or the bridge over Bell River.
No, never heard of it. I've only been out here since 2018.
Well, the things I remember about it, again, 11, 12 years of age, I was out there, I believe the 2 years I was out there was 66 and 67, because 67 was the year of the riots downtown, and I was at the camp when that was going on. But the bridge was an old, like, iron girder bridge, and you couldn't even go over it anymore. They had, like, concrete, I don't want to say pylons, but they weren't the, you know, the barricades like you see that they put up on, you know, the temporary, like, guardrails like they do on the freeways now. These were actual poles that were cemented into the bridge because the bridge was unsafe. You could walk across it, you could ride a bike across it, but they would not allow a vehicle on it. And the last time I was out there just to look for it was probably, I would say, just before I retired, which was like 12, 13 years ago, and obviously the camp is gone. The roadway that led up to it is a private thing now, no trespassing signs, and the bridge over Bell River has all been, you know, updated and high-tech and really, really nice and smooth and fancy, but it's hard for me to find people that knew about it, and like I say, if you can Google search it and find some old pictures of it, but yeah. Not too many people are aware of it, and for you to be out there, you know, only since 2018, I fully understand.
If you want to find some old photos like that, go to historicaerial.com, and then they have satellite photos. You can pick certain years and see what you can find. That's how I checked on a couple things, but it's historicaerial.com.
Fingers flipped off the button. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that because I am looking for, you know, anything about it because I tell people about it. And one of the older photos I was able to find, you can't find anything because it was up on a hill, yet there was an outdoor swimming pool right alongside the river that was, like, down a slope. And so it was, like a two-tier kind of a thing on a hillside, where, like I say, you go uphill when you turn into this thing, and the campgrounds and stuff like that. There was a church up there. There was a grotto up there, all kinds of stuff. I think there were, like, four dorm buildings and then the kitchen, mess hall, activity center kind of a thing. But last photo I ever saw of it showed a cobblestone ring where the flagpole used to be, and the ring was still there, and in recent Google photos, that's now gone, but historicaerial.com, I'm going to have to look that up, and I appreciate the information.
That's plural, though, historicaerial.com. Another one you want to check out is waterwinterwonderland.com. It's another one that I go through. And that one shows pictures of, like, the old racetrack that was down off of 27 in Meldrum, the old park that was over here on Grash at the old animal park. Some of them don't have actual photos, but there's stories on it. And then they show an aerial photograph. And that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, copy that. I mean, like I said, those things I never heard of because, you know, everything today now is all satellite GPS stuff, and that only goes back so far. And to go back as far as 66, 67, just for me, 10, 11, 12 years of age would be some stuff for me to find for sure. And I promise you I won't sing it over the radio, but I do remember the Camp St. Mary's, like, rah-rah cheer song. I definitely won't sing it, but I do remember it, so I tell people about it, you know. It's like, yeah, Camp St. Mary's off of Weber, east of M-19, and you hit Bell River, and it was right there on the right, and they're like, yeah, right, oh, I'm not kidding you, you know. And but like you, 2018, but I don't know. I didn't know a lot of people back then. The only other thing I remember from those days was, going back through there the few times I did, was Tivoli's Pizza Place. I think it's in downtown Richmond before you even get out towards, you know, I mean, you're not even out towards Weber Road yet, but remember Tivoli's Pizza and how famous that place was, and I'm hearing that it's still around.
Yep, Tivoli's Pizza. I get pizza from there every so often. Still in Richmond. They sold the one in Armada, and the brother owns the one in Utica.
Armada was a town that I never got to much, and I think I've only been to the Armada Fair twice in my lifetime. But the one in Richmond, I used to be okay, I'm familiar with that one, but the one in Utica I'm also familiar with, but I never knew there was one up in Armada. So, but yeah, that's just like, oh God, where is it now? I can't think of it. I was going to mention something. I lost my train of thought. But anyhow. I got to get up and get my day started. It's almost 8 o'clock, and all I've done is I got home early this morning because I spent the night up in Chesterfield with my girlfriend after going to the neighborhood Super Bowl party. So I crashed there, and then she had to get up this morning, get me home, and then she had to go work out. She should be home pretty soon from her workout, then she's got to start her day. Fortunately, she gets to work from home. So I will let you get your day started. Hope it's not too bad of a day, and just be safe on the roads. I don't think there's any precipitation on the roads going on today. I think tomorrow it's supposed to get to 40. Woohoo! Might have to pull out the shorts. All right, have a great day. Again, all the best. Good talking to you. We'll catch up with you later. W8RCY.
All right, enjoy the day. Get your daily chores done. So far, it's just one run. We'll see how it goes from there. Changes minute by minute. Talk at you later, 73-KZ8-KJO.
KE8RUH. I missed that one. Who is this?
ABY.
Ah, is this Lance?
Yep, that's right.
What's going on? You on your way home?
Nope, I'm going the opposite of home. I need to hit up the dentist. Not far from where you were. Nine and Harper.
Ah, yes, I am on my way home. I will be passing Nine and Harper.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the time they're telling me that he's done. This guy's been my dentist my entire life, other than I think I've seen a different dentist maybe twice when I was in Iowa.
I was going to say, this is a long ride for you, for a dentist, so you, it must be somebody that you went to for a while.
Yeah, it's not too bad when you only have to go there twice a year, so.
Yep, hopefully you only go twice a year. I know if I have to go more than twice, I don't like it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've been blessed with pretty good teeth. I know, like my stepdad, he's got his own chair there. You know, they keep it reserved for him.
Mine aren't too bad, but they're definitely not good. That's for sure. I've had my fair share of issues, but I do my best to keep them all in my mouth.
Yeah, I guess a few weeks ago he got his prep work for implants or something like that. Or he's getting all sorts of work done. I know for a while he's wanted to just rip them all out and get dentures and be done with it.
You know, that sounds like a good idea, but I don't think it's all that it's cracked up to be. I think having dentures is quite the undertaking.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it would save all the pain and cost and everything, but I know his dad had dentures pretty early, but, you know, dental science wasn't exactly what it was, 90 years ago.
Yep, we've come a long way, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was pretty much, if you get a cavity, you pull it out. Pretty severe, none left.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if that was the case, I'd be in trouble. I'd be missing quite a few. Over the years, I've had my fair share of cavities, but luckily, with current technology, they've been able to just clean them up and put a little filler in there and fix them for me.
Yeah, I don't know if I even have done that. I never said I had a cavity, but I know I had to come back in one time and they did something to one of my teeth, but it may have been a filling. I don't know. He didn't really tell me what he did. just came in and took care of it.
Man, you weren't kidding. You do have good teeth. You're pretty lucky.
Yeah, partially genetics, partially what you do. Part of my stepdad's problem was he smoked a lot, and then he also the only thing he drinks is Kool-Aid, so nothing but pure sugar.
Yep, the sugar and the smoking does not help your teeth, that's for sure.
Traffic on the other side of 696 clears up by the time I go home. Looks like they had an accident over there or something.
Yeah, it should clear up by then, and you should have clear ride all the way to 9 and Harper. I just, I'm about 3 blocks from my house, so I just ran through there, and it was actually much clearer than normal. I don't know why.
When I left, there was an accident on 75 right at the 696 interchange, so I probably would have been, some diversions and whatnot that would have lightened it up, I guess. I didn't see anything get cleared by the time I got to there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would make sense. It was really clear getting on to 696 from 75, but I got on to 75 at 11 mile there. I must have missed that accident.
Yeah, it looked like it was right at the interchange. I don't know. I was just looking at Google Maps, and it said there was an accident there, so I was like, oh, I better leave, because, you know, it'll just get worse and worse. You know, 5 minutes can change to an hour. But when I got in the car, it said it was only 30 minutes to get there instead of the 40 or so they were predicting. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to be early.
Yep. After this one, I'll listen out, but I'm pulling up to the driveway here. It was good talking this afternoon, and catch up with you soon. Good luck at the dentist. K-E-8-R-U-H.
Alrighty, I'll say 7-3 then. Yeah, it shouldn't be too bad. Just get them all nice and clean and pretty and head home. A-B-L-R.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8. Foxtrot Quebec in November. Listening. This is KFA FQN. Listening.
What are you listening to?
This is KFA FQN. Just calling off guard there. Well, I'm listening to the radio, as you can tell. But, what's your call sign and how are you doing today?
Not too bad. Leaving the dentist and headed home.
Roger, so I believe you said Alpha Bravo 8 Yankee, and yeah, I just got home from an orthodontist appointment, and time's going by fast right now. I don't know about you.
Go faster the older you get. my call sign looks like my daughter's name, Abby. So that's why I was looking for a 2x1, 1x2. That one came up and I had to grab it. So managed to snag it.
Roger, yeah, I knew it had to give energy call sign. So I thought it said, the way I wrote the A, it looked like the Abby too. So that's really cool. Me personally, I like sticking with my call sign for now. I like the KFASQN. I kind of like how it rolls off the tongue better. Used to not, but now it does. But how was your dinner, I believe?
I haven't had dinner yet. Yeah, I'm ready for Mark to the dentist. I got two daughters about your age. We really talked, but I know I've heard you on. But yeah, I've got a 12 and an 11-year-old.
Roger, yeah, I'm 11. And hold on. Also, I thought I'd tell somebody this. I'm going to my first amateur radio meeting tomorrow, actually. It's in the Lapeer County Ham Radio Club.
Yeah, I know a few of the guys there. I know it's called End of LJN. I think it's N8 LJN. Larry. Met him up north when I was doing radio for the rally race. Actually, they had that this weekend, but he wasn't there. But that's one of the things I like doing with the lower ham radio license is we go volunteer up north and watch the rally cars drive by.
Roger, yeah, it sounds like fun. It sounds like a cool new stuff. So, from what I copied, you do comms for them?
Yeah, we'll have a net control operator at rate control, and then at the start and the finish line of each of the stages, and then like various points around the stage, we'll have radio operators. And then the sweep vehicles will have radios, and we'll be in charge of communications for the whole thing. I'm sure you probably heard the name Travis Pastrana. He was up there racing this weekend, so we got to get to be by his car. I don't really get to talk to him when you're doing radio, but one of the celebrities that was there.
Really? That's awesome. I didn't know he was up there. So that must have been a cool experience. I have a question for you. Do you know Brian, his call sign is November 8, Bravo, Zulu, Romeo, and his name is Brian again?
It doesn't sound familiar. I don't think so, but I'm not sure.
Roger, because I believe I was talking to NADVR Ryan, or might have been K4 Direct, yeah, I have no idea, but I think that was one of them that said that they're going up to the ham radio meeting or ham radio thing tomorrow up in Lapeer.
Yeah, I'm not in that club, but I do know a few people from that, and I do a lot of work with the Seaman guys. Was doing another radio event with them for Bike MS, but kind of how I got in with them and started, and then when I moved up there, I started really working a lot more with them.
Roger, all right. So that's how you know them, I'm guessing. Give me more behind the stories, as always. But, just asking because, like what I said, one of them, or it might have been NAWRO, I have, again, no idea. But I've talked to them on the radio a lot. And I think they're part of the, what is it, APRRS or whatever. Like, it's like a, I don't, you're probably part of it, maybe. It's a group up there, hold on, radio. It's like a group up there, I think it's in, I forgot where it was, but, I think, I got their call signs all written down, but I think they're all from that. But, yeah, I was kind of surprised that, I'm just going to say NABZR was going up there.
I think you're talking about the ARPSC, and I work with the Genesee County version of that, G-CARES. Been working with those guys for about a year or two now. It's kind of all the same group. We're kind of all very cross-pollinated.
Yeah, Roger. I think that was the name of that. But I just got told about that. My first contact ever on ham radio, which was a solid 2 weeks ago, was KC8KGO Tom, and he was talking about it, and I believe, yeah, he's a part of it, but I didn't know they had, like, other ones in Genesee County, so that's cool. I thought there was only one, but apparently it's all spread out, so that's very cool. Back over to you.
Yeah, there's most of the I don't know most, but yeah, they're all over. It's part of the Aries and Reiki's have kind of all kind of gotten very muddy. But there's Oxcom and it's just basically supporting the county with emergencies and getting providing radio communications or whatever. One of their other things, we part of what SEMA does is we do the microwave network, so we're giving internet to a lot of the repeaters and everything, and emergency operation centers and everything. So it's all kind of a big group that is separate little smaller groups, and it's a whole hierarchy organization.
Yeah, Roger. It was like the emergency network or like group, something like that. But I heard that you guys do that stuff, and I think that's awesome that you guys do that. And how cool! Like one day I'll be able to help out the community and stuff, doing stuff like that. Because I mean, that's giving back to the community. It's a nice thing to do and stuff, and you're doing the ham radio hobby, so you're enjoying it and helping out the community. Sorry, but yeah, that sounds awesome, and I appreciate you for doing that, and anybody else that does that. KFASQN Friday.
Hey, Bailey. Yeah, I mean, sometimes they just need somebody to hold a rope. You don't need to really know what you're doing to help sometimes. Just being there, you'll learn a lot and ask questions. You'll start picking things up and just start. That's part of the joy is just tinkering and learning and figuring it all out, all that other stuff.
Yeah, Roger, that's really what the hobby's all about, learning from your mistakes, tinkering with stuff. I'm trying to take apart a two-way radio, but it's being a pain and will not come apart. And obviously, I don't want to break it, so that's another problem. But, that's why I'm really excited and happy to go to that ham radio club tomorrow up in Lapeer, because I feel like I've just been associating myself more with Javi, more with ham radio and stuff. But I've never been to anything in public that's ham radio related, so that would be an experience. But back over to you.
Yeah, I've gone to a few swaps, but that's usually an interesting experience. There's a lot of old junk that people want top dollar for. Go to ham radio swap and they're selling random stuff in their garage. You get circular swap, rusty old circular, a lot of saw blades and stuff like that. It's like, what's going on here? But I kind of avoided most of the meeting stuff type deals. The clubs, I kind of became associated with the non-club clubs like Seaman and the FBI.
Yeah, Roger. Yes, really what the hobby's all about. It's fun, having fun and stuff. And I just want to tell you something. There's this person outside my house right now. It's nothing crazy, but I kind of feel bad for them. I believe they're walking home from school, but where I live is just dirt road, and I don't know about you, but I just feel like it's kind of weird circled back and forth twice. But again, none of my business and stuff, so just wanted to tell you that. Something random, but back over to you.
Yeah, I'm on a dirt road, too. I'm barely on dirt road. I'm the first road off the paved, or the first house right off the paved roads. Barely on a dirt road, but yeah. Out in the sticks.
Yeah, so you're in Genesee County. I'm in Lapeer County. You probably guessed that by now. But what city are you in?
I live in Flushing, but I'm down right now. I'm coming up into Auburn Hills, so I work down at Auburn Hills, so I get lots of road time.
Roger, yeah, it sounds like you do. That's a haul and a half. But is there any nets that you normally participate in?
Not really. I mean, I don't do any weekly nets, but I do part of our duties as the Federal G Cares is when we do the monthly tornado siren tests, we'll have a net for that to assign sirens out, get the reports, and then the other thing is we'll do the severe weather nets whenever there's a big severe weather storm coming through. We'll fire up a net for the storm spotters to report if they see anything, find any tornadoes or anything on the ground.
Roger, I didn't know about all that. So, yeah, are they just testing emergency stuff? Or, sorry, I didn't copy you fully. My radio was acting up, so I'm really sorry about that, but. So it's a tornado net, and you guys do the tornado sirens. So is it an emergency, frequency, or emergency net for other, ham users to test out their equipment? Or, what is it?
I'm not sure what Lapeer County does, but Genesee County, we have tornado sirens across the county, and every, the first Saturday of the month from March to October, they get tested. Whenever they're going off, we'll assign radio operators to go out to the siren and make sure they're working and inning and make a noise and doing what they're supposed to. And then, yeah, other than that, we do the Skywarn nuts for whenever there's a storm coming through. We'll do weather spotting and report back to the National Weather Service and tell them, hey, we saw a tornado over here or something like that.
Right, kind of like Skywarn. That's very cool. However, though, I do have to go. So it was I had a very nice time talking to you, and I had extreme pleasure meeting you. I hope we get to talk again. And again, you have a good rest of your evening. I hope your dinner is good. And this is KF8SQN, Clean in the West.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's Skywarn. that's exactly what we're doing, Skywarn nuts. Anyway, yeah, we'll stay 7-3 and probably catch you on the air some other time. E-B-1.
This is KSA-SQN listening. This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot feedback November. Clear for now. This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot feedback November. Listening. Oops, not much. KSASQN, sorry about that. Well, come on, guys, I'm joking. This is KSASQN. It's clear for now. KSA-SQN listening. KSA-SQN clear. I got somebody wanted me to go into the repeater, so sorry about that, guys. KSA-SQN 73, y'all. Good night to everybody and clear.